the most eclectic audience on radio, only on the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program.
A lot of you all out there, you people financing rap concerts and celebrity parties, you too are a securitized gangster. This volume, Volume 1, describes the difficult landscape faced by entrepreneurs and what they can do about it, explaining that this difficult environment is the normal condition. I'm going to repeat. This difficult environment is the normal condition faced by the most successful business persons and communities that have created wealth. The author, that's me, provides lessons from history and insight into current events to lay a path for success. The Entrepreneurial Secret Volume 1 is essential reading for those in business who want to understand how politics, economics, and culture affect their bottom line. Matsumela Mafumo and I had a great conversation last night about a chapter in my book that deals with kinship systems. In one chapter, I go through Chinese, Jamaican, West African culture, the cultural practice of group savings. I talk about my mother, born in Panama, raised in Jamaica, what I've learned from her. That's all in Volume 1, okay? Let's go to Volume 2. That Volume 1 is something. Something. Need that. I have a chapter that I talk about my relationship with Cynthia McKinney, my advising her in the 2004 congressional campaign on economic and entrepreneurial issues, including the capital gains tax, the role that Reverend Sharpton is the man on tax issues. You must have forgot. Volume 1, I talk about Reverend Sharpton's courageous stance on behalf of entrepreneurs that most people did not even hear about. Reverend Al is the man. Let's move to Volume 2. That's the gold book. Not yellow. It looks kind of yellow. It's gold. All right. Follow the yellow brick road. Boom. Look up on your screen. Let me move this around for you. This is Volume 2. Let me read a description on the esecret.com. In the Entrepreneurial Secret Volume 2, the business principles, Cedric Muhammad reveals practical lessons learned from his own experience in the music industry as a political strategist and monetary economist that can mean the difference between success and failure in business. This is where I get into my Wu-Tang stories. The Wu-Tang, Wu-Tang. If you want woo, if you want to throw the W up, get Volume 2. If you want to throw the W up, the bat, as RZA used to call it, throw the bat sign up, get Volume 2. So I say, from handling negotiations and managing the personalities on your team to tips on networking and business etiquette, I have two chapters that are conversations between myself and my business mentor, Frank, the man that bought me my first business card holder, bought me my first business casual shirt, told me how to dress. He gave me the science of etiquette and networking. That's in the book, two chapters, Volume 2. As well as the critical role of developing business plans. The author, that's me, provides easy to understand insight in ways and that any first-time entrepreneur and small business owner can apply. If you are wondering how to build personal power and meet the right person in business, or prepare for technological and demographic change, or learn how to value your business and negotiate with an investor, this book is for you. Man, that sounds like the book to get. In this, the second installment of his three-volume series, Cedric Muhammad provides a seven-element formula to help anyone start or grow a business in troubling times. And this book, this is like 190 pages. All of the volumes are around 200 pages. Easy to maneuver and hold. The Business Principles, Volume 2 of my book. Let me give you a taste of Volume 3. And I would say that Volume 3 was emotionally, spiritually, the most difficult of the volumes to write. I indicate a little bit of why in my interview at blackelectorate.com with Andy Solage. I'm going to talk about Shark Tank in a minute, as well as China, and relate it to my book. Let's talk about Volume 3. I'm just reading the descriptions that are on the eSecret.com, the official book website. Volume 3. In The Entrepreneurial Secret, Volume 3, The Personal Struggle, Cedric Muhammad turns his focus to the unavoidable sacrifice that successful entrepreneurs must make in starting and growing a business. Rather than avoiding the uncomfortable subject of how pain must accompany creativity and how growth and or acting like it does not exist. And that's a little shot. I'm taking a little shot at most books that don't want to deal with how painful it is trying to do something for yourself. Let's give a standing ovation to pain right now. Embrace pain, y'all. Embrace suffering and adversity. You will love chapter 13, this first chapter in this volume that deals with, I'm not going to say who, but one of the most influential human beings, if not the most in one sense, to ever write a book. The hell that they went through in their life, which helped them to produce that glorious book, I Grow Through the Unbelievably Difficult, Horrific Life and Experiences That Someone You All Have Heard Of Went Through That You Did Not Know About. Again, standing ovation for pain, adversity, and suffering that you're going through right now. This volume embraces the role that suffering plays in our personal, professional, and business development, making clear that entrepreneurship is the ultimate balancing act between critical and creative thinking. This work takes an in-depth look at how we think, feel, and behave, and the impact that emotions, value systems, and personal character have on our ability to perceive an opportunity and build an organization to pursue it, which is the definition of an entrepreneur. The need for willpower and keen awareness of how one's closest and most intimate relationships are affected by the entrepreneurial journey are also explained with the help of spiritual principles. Now, this is a deeply spiritual and technical volume. I use the life of Job. This gives Job, Prophet Job, a round of applause. The Prophet Muhammad, a round of applause. The Prophet David. I use their lives to make important points about suffering and entrepreneurship. I think you will love it, especially Job. Based upon Cedric Muhammad's own experience and testimony, this introspective and well-researched volume is the sobering conclusion to the three-part series written for anyone seeking to achieve expression and independence through business activity. This is the one you get. You had to sit down with it, take your time. Bring the Kleenex out. Bring the notepad out. This is the how you become God entrepreneurial focus. Okay? You catch up on your comments. So again, Glenn asked the question. Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com right now. There'll be some other things announced soon. Again, I had to read this comment. Shalene Domingo from Clinton, Maryland. She caught me last night on Mark Thompson's show on Sirius. She says, I heard you for the first time last night, October 6th, on the Make It Plain show with Mark Thompson. I was sitting in my driveway and I couldn't get out of the car because the conversation was so engaging. I am on board. Thanks for the book. Shalene Domingo, if I ever see you or find you, I will sign your book. I gave Mark and Miss Rogers personally signed copies last night. Rabia Muhammad from Chicago, a dear commentator. What's the proper? Rabia Muhammad knows a lot about language, from what I understand. What is the proper? Is it commentatress? Commentatress? the feminine of commentator? What's the gender specificity on that? Rabia says, dear Brother Cedric, thank you and Brother Andy. That's Andy Solage. For the interview during which you describe your motivations for writing what promises to be a great read for entrepreneurs and those of us who know you. The volume of personal struggle especially should be required reading no matter what one's field of endeavor is. I know I found application to my work in higher education just by reading the interview. I cannot wait to read the book, though I may have to wait until the semester ends. Yes, a college immersed, academically immersed queen. So Cedric, I like the book, but I had to study. But I know that the principles for success are the same. If we all apply them, no matter what our chosen sphere of work, maybe, just maybe, we will produce the state of freedom, justice, and equality we are looking for. May Allah continue to bless you, Sister Rabia Muhammad. Thank you. Somebody calling me in the middle of my show. Could be my mom. Glenn from Philly says, I think the economic situation highlights just how important it is to start a business, as well as to develop the skills that move with you. Ooh, Glenn, hold on. I got to stop the music. And the applause. Damn, this is so important. Let me put the camera on so I can catch the Holy Ghost in your view. Damn, what Glenn said is so heavy. Put the music back on. This is heavy, what Glenn said. Because this goes back to why these jobs are not coming back. Many of them. Glenn says, I think the economic situation highlights just how important it is to start a business, as well as develop skills that move with you. He's saying mobile. Your skill set has to be mobile. In chapter 7, volume 2 of my book, I talk about how some of you and us, we're writing our resumes wrong. Listen closely, you resume writers. My mentor, Frank, he breaks it down. People don't want to know everything that you've done before. They want to know whether what you have done, what you know, and your skill set, as Glenn said, whether it's useful and relevant. Start writing resumes like their bios. As Jay-Z once said, you're rhyming all wrong on the beat. You're rhyming wrong to the beat. People want to know in a resume that what you know is useful and relevant to what they want, not how great you are. Is it relevant to what they would be hiring you for? You also now have to find jobs where maybe you might have to move. A friend of mine is in management in retail stores, and my father thinks highly is a friend of mine. My father thinks highly of him. If my father thinks so highly of him, I think my father wants to adopt him in place of me. But he told me, he says, your friend will go far if he's willing to move. Corporations and companies love that have a more than a single residence or presence. They love people who are mobile, who can move. If you are single, you don't have children, or maybe you're a young couple, maybe one child, two young children, and you're able to move, the sky may be the limit for you. So your skill set and you being mobile is going to be an asset. So Glenn says, it's not just enough to know the ins and outs of one employer's process in regards to the economy. There is no quick fix. Even with the slowing of certain negative factors, it still takes a while to move into a good space. It's like a football team in its rebuilding stage. Philadelphia Eagles maybe soon. They may gain a few extra first downs per game, but there is still a long way to go. Now, headed into hour number 3. I've been merciful on you with the commercials. That mercy's coming to an end. We have to get money. Have to do business. Stop all the non-profiting. I don't know how to do it. I'm going to start a crusade against non-profits no, I won't say that, nonprofit team. Why is it that if you want to do something good in the hood, you have to start a nonprofit? What is up with that? So we're going to take a break because we don't believe in nonprofiting or nonprofiteering. Individuals need a self-enlightened interest. I'm going to connect the 60th anniversary of the Republic of China, the People's Republic of China, and Shark Tank when we come back. Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. Go tell somebody, man. Share this show with someone.
I am not a destroyer of companies. I am a liberator of them.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed, in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind, and greed, you mark my words, will not only save Teldar Paper, but that other malfunctioning corporation called the USA.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
One more time, I'll be running it. People try to shun it. The fact that I'm a hustler, but I'm still running. Now I'm a strength and a golden limb. Coming better and stronger, sweeter and longer. Making an impact, who's got the knack? The hustlers, now ready to attack. You can be as a faker, you might get a fun, but if you're BS dead, you won't get none.
October 7, 2009, Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program, CedricMuhammad.com. Let's go into Shark Tank right away. This belt buckle entrepreneur. If you saw it last night, Shark Tank, entrepreneur number 4, I believe. I just want to focus on him. He typifies the dilemma that many entrepreneurs, particularly from communities that may not necessarily be wealthy, wrestle with. The question of ownership versus profitability and control. The valuation was the tip of the iceberg. That was not the only problem. The sharks kept harping on that. But what was underneath it was this guy did not want to give up control. I'll tell you why that is the case. The belt buckle entrepreneur on Shark Tank last night.
My name is Dan Beers. My company is Washed Up Hollywood. We manufacture designer buckles and belts for men and women.
Hey, guys.
Hey, yo.
What are you working on?
My dad is a very successful belt designer. He's been in the business for over 30 years. Has designed for very high-end boutiques and celebrities. I grew up watching my dad design belts. I wanted to do the same thing he did. I decided to create my own belt company. Washed Up Hollywood is already successful. We've sold to major department stores and to celebrities around the world.
I love this. I just absolutely think this is
cool. This is going to be in a little bit later in the season. Washed Up Hollywood is a family business. My brother and sister work with me. It's very important to all of us that we make our father proud. I know my product's awesome. I know with the right investment, my company can grow much, much bigger.
You guys did a really, really great job.
I have huge aspirations to make Washed Up Hollywood a huge business. If the sharks invest, I can guarantee their pants will never fall down. Hi, my name is Dan Beers. I'm CEO of the innovative fashion accessory brand Washed Up Hollywood. We're seeking an investment of $500,000. This is in exchange for 25% of our emerging company. Now, our company is most notably known for our unique hardware buckles and belts. Ladies.
Thank you. That's cool.
As you can see, our belts are hot. They're designed for the elite, for the celebrity in mind. But they're affordably priced for everyone. Our target market's the 18 to 40-year-old males and females. Our belts have appeared in magazines worldwide. I personally come from a strong family background in the fashion industry. In barely 3 years' time, with my own small capital investments, we've steadily grown and become profitable. Our belts have sold in over 300 stores and in 12 countries. This includes one of the top upscale department store chains in the U.S., as well as a major chain in Canada.
You sort of dropped some names, but I didn't hear them. Out with them.
We're in Parasuco Jeans in Canada.
Okay.
We're in Nordstrom right now.
So what are your sales, Dan, in overall?
In 2008, there were 435,000.
Did you make any money on 438,000?
We're $50,000 net profit.
What's the price point, the belt you're wearing right now?
The retail price point's from 55 to 99. This is a $99 belt. So the prices are good for the quality.
So you sell that belt for $100 you've bought?
Yes.
And what did you pay to make that?
This belt, it costs $40 wholesale.
How many belts have you sold in the last 12 months?
It's about a little over 10,000.
You sold 10,000 belts in last year?
Yes.
Then didn't you say your family was involved in the business?
You're correct. I actually come from a family that's got a huge background in the fashion industry. My father, Al Beers, designed belts for 35 years. He sold to the high-end stores and celebrities expensive $1,000 belts. So basically what I did when launching Washed Up Hollywood, I'd worked under his wing for 15 years, going to the trade shows, learning the business. I wanted to make a product that was at a lower price point that could be sold to the masses, basically.
Who's your competition right now?
We don't have a very strong competition for directly what we do. No one's at our price point. None of them really have the type of buckle, the type of product that we make.
So why,
stage presence.
Why are you
product.
Better then?
You guys see the belts. I mean, what do you see about the belts that makes them different? What's the first thing that catches your eyes?
The design.
The buckle.
Who's your designer?
Right.
I'm the designer.
You're the designer and you're the CEO? That's pretty rare.
How much do you have invested into this company?
I have over $120,000 of my own dollars invested in.
You're saying your company is worth $2 million because you're asking for $500,000.
Correct.
For 25%.
We have over $150,000 in assets. Our sales have been growing rapidly.
I like the product. I like the product. I like the revenue stream. I think he's growing. The only thing I don't like is I don't like the value.
It's a $2 million valuation.
You've got something you've created that's gone from zero to $400,000. But there's no chance it's worth $2 million.
I give you the $500,000. How do I get my money back?
I think we can build our company into a $32 million company in 5 years.
I love the arrogance. Companies are I love explosive. The confidence. I hate your valuation.
The guy's the real deal. He's got
the real
orders,
deal, and he's
got...
a pig. What do you do with a guy like this?
I think he's just playing with us. Any second now, he's going to say...
Just kidding.
I was just joking.
Just kidding.
I really give us the real valuation.
$650,000. Let's work together.
You think we're worth $650,000?
Yeah.
I don't believe so. Our sales are approaching.
You're worth 1.5 times sales right now. Look, you're a very interesting character. A CEO designer. Now, there's a little bit of a risk there. If you walk out of here and a bus runs you over, you're going to be sparkling on the pavement with that belt. That's the problem.
I look both ways, always.
Look, Dan, here's the reality. I think the business is probably worth $600,000 to $700,000. If you wanted 25%, I'd give you $100,000 to $200,000. But I can't give you $500,000 because I'd have to own you and every belt buckle that you've ever made.
And all the ones you're going to make for the next 4 years. How frustrating you are. You've got a real business, but you're a pig. You're greedy. You're not leaving anything for me to wet my beak with at all.
Danon is seeking $500,000 for 25% of his company. He must get the full amount he's asking for in order to secure a deal.
What does the clothing guy say? Is this a real business or not?
That price is outrageous. I do like the product, but there's nothing different from the product. I can't tell that's his brand when it's sparkling walking by somebody. As well as, these are buckles. Buckles are hidden under your shirt most of the time. And I just don't believe that he sold that many units and did $500,000 in this.
No, market. I can back that up, of course.
Wait a minute. I called him a pig and you called him a liar. So he's a lying pig.
Yes. But a talented lying pig.
What do we do with this guy?
Danon is seeking $500,000 for 25% of the company. He must secure the full amount he's asking for, or he will walk away with nothing. The Sharks are interested in the business, but they've hit a wall in the negotiation because he's valued his company too high.
What do we do with this guy?
You have to throw him out.
Do a crazy number. So I don't see why this couldn't...
Because we're valuing you on today. and not the crazy number.
Then what you're asking for is gambling. There's a difference between investing and gambling. Gambling is you throw your money down and maybe it rides, maybe you lose it. Investing is you take the value of the business today, add some multiple for the future, and make a decision.
Why can't we have some upside? We're taking all
the risks. Well, you have no upside at $500,000.
That's my point. That's my point. You're not giving us any upside. You're just taking our money and screwing us. I mean, we're paying as if you were doing $2 million in sales and you're doing $400,000. It's crazy. Look, there's nowhere to go here because there's no chance I'm giving you $500,000. I'd need 112%.
We need $500,000 to take us to the level we want to be at. And I believe that our company's worth $2 million. One of the top denim brands in the world just started working with us on producing some private label products. We're in the initial phases of designing. It would increase our business fivefold.
But then you understand on a private label deal, it doesn't extend your brand washed up Hollywood at all. That business to me is worth less than building this brand washed up Hollywood up.
Then I can't give you $500,000 for anything that isn't more than you own today. It's crazy. Big mistake with the valuation. I'm out.
I understand.
The numbers don't work for me, and the risk doesn't work for me, really. I'm going to say I'm out.
If you had come in here with that right number, you would have with you right now the right investors. It's really a shame, so I'm so sad to say I'm out.
You know, I've got to say, you've wasted your own time today putting a crazy number on it. That's become very clear to you. I think you know that now. That was a mistake. But worse, you've wasted my time. I'm out.
You remind me of me when I started. You are competent. You're running the company. You're designing it yourself. But you're asking for just something that we can't do. And that's why we're mad. You worked so hard to get here, and you worked so hard to destroy your opportunity. Just by that number. Because of the number, I have to be out.
Okay?
Yep, we're all out.
We're done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it.
The sharks couldn't see the big picture. I don't regret going in there asking for the amount we asked for. I think the sharks definitely lost out today. I think they missed it today. They missed a big opportunity.
I like the guy. He's a pig, though.
There's no way that company's worth $2 million.
Not a chance. All right. He's gone. He's dead. He's vapor. I'll never think of him again, even when I look at my belt.
But you have a belt buckle.
I know. From a dead man.
Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. That was last night's Shark Tank. The belt bucket. Belt buckle. I don't know why I can't pronounce it. The belt buckle entrepreneur. If you had any thoughts, let me know. I like the guy. But he's typical of a problem, which is people that are unclear on what matters more. Control or profitability, and how to balance that in the valuation. His valuation was high, but his mistake was not that. His mistake was in not using that valuation as the basis of negotiation. You feel me? He didn't budge. He didn't even make a counter offer. I mean, I thought he was going to go to a valuation maybe of 1 million, 1.5, 1.2. He did not budge at all. Now, he could still very well be successful because I think he understands that having an appearance on national TV just opened him up to the entire universe of potential investors. It also lifted his brand a notch, several notches above his competition. But how to balance the need for control and ownership with profitability and growth? This is one of the big issues I deal with in my book. I talk about my interaction with Bob Johnson of BET. I must have been 20 years old. I stepped to Bob Johnson about him selling portions of BET. Hold on, I like that bed. Hold on, I like that. It's called Breathe, I think. I think that's called Breathe. I don't know. Anyway, I like that bed. Bring that back. So Bob Johnson, I ran up on him. I had to have been 20. I ran up on Bob Johnson and tried to chastise him about selling portions of BET. I just messed up everything. So in any event, I learned a lesson in valuation. Now, all of you, I'm going to speak to the Black American audience now. It's a big issue with us about control of a company, having to keep more than 50%. So the dilemma is you sell too much of the company, you lose control, you've sold out. People take your company and do something negative with it. Or you keep control, more than 50%, and you can never grow the damn thing. Or some people are so big on control, they don't even start the idea. They don't even get an investor. So this is the dilemma. A lot of this is cultural. You have cultural issues that you're working out. So my book deals with this in volume one and volume two. I deal with valuation. But volume one is probably the big chapter. I have a chapter on the business firm and capital, how to value a business, different ways of valuing it. They wanted to value his business as a multiple of sales. That's one of the ways you can value a business. There's no exact science to it. It's subjective. People pick different justifications for the value of a company in order to justify what they want to get or give up. It's just a negotiating device, and this guy did not use it at all. Big mistake. So you get some of the pointers in 101 in my book. But I do use the example of BET in my book to us up to a point, because if Bob Johnson can't get investment from his critics, how is he going to grow BET? That's the flip side of the argument of selling out. Kathy Hughes, same thing. The dilemma for the Black entrepreneur is that you cannot really find Black ready-made sources of investment at a certain scale. This is just the truth. The people that criticize Russell Simmons or any Oprah, whoever it is, they all get criticized. We all get criticized. You cannot live and eat off of a Black base in business. I've yet to see it at past a certain point. And I don't think that's necessarily intelligent. You should have more than just Black investors. But what I'm saying is, if you are a Black American and you are trying to raise a certain amount of money, you really can't do it. And you certainly can't get it from the people who criticize you. It's an ideological argument that no entrepreneur can overcome, because an ideologue only deals in the ideal and what's pure. They never deal in negotiation, what's pragmatic, the compromises that you do have to make, or the concessions rather, the trade and exchange. They never deal in that real world. So they stay right on paper or in their mind, but they never get anything done in reality. That's a personality type called the ideologue. There are a couple good positive things about the ideologue. They keep your morale up. They're a good source of seed capital. But you can't get too much in the way of professional involvement and real business acumen from an ideologue. But they have a role to play, okay? Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program, October 7, 2009. We're headed into hour number three. I'm going to use Shark Tank and the 60th anniversary of the People's Republic of China to make a point about individual self-interest and solidarity in a collective. We'll be right back.
The most eclectic audience on radio, only on the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program.